Hello and welcome to Weekly Dev Tips. I'm your host Steve Smith, aka R-Dallas. This is episode 23, where we look at another way to implement the domain events pattern. Don't forget, you can follow Weekly Dev Tips on Twitter as well as in your favorite podcast app. And if you're finding these tips to be helpful, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Let me take just a moment to thank a few of you who have left reviews so far. On iTunes, there's Joe Z, who left the first ever review, along with BTOL89 and Gingerbrook. And on Stitcher, I'd like to thank Joe Z again, along with Desert Rambler, Dominic, and Red Dorian. Thanks again for the great reviews and feedback. This episode is sponsored by DevIQ. DevIQ offers online training for software developers and designers, covering topics like UX, .NET development, and my own course on ASP.NET Core. Check them out at deviq.com. So in my last tip, we talked about domain events that fire before persistence. This week, we'll look at another kind of domain event that should typically fire only after persistence has been successful. If you're new to the domain events pattern, I recommend you listen to episode 22 before this one. In general, I recommend listening to this podcast in order, but I can't force you to do that, so you do you. When you have a scenario in your application where a requirement is phrased, "When X happens, then Y should happen," that's often an indication that using a domain event might be appropriate. If the follow-on behavior has side effects that extend beyond your application, that's often an indication that the event shouldn't occur unless persistence has been successful. Let's consider a somewhat contrived real-world example. Imagine you have a simple e-commerce application. People can browse products, add them to a virtual cart or basket, and check out by providing payment and shipping details. Everything is working fine when you get a new requirement. When the customer checks out, they should get an email confirming their purchase. Sounds like a good candidate for a domain event, right? Okay, so your first pass at this is to simply go into the checkout method and raise a cart checked out event, which you then handle with a notify customer on checkout handler class. Now, since you're using a simple in-process approach to domain events, when you raise that domain event, all handlers will fire immediately before execution resumes and continues on in your application. You roll out the change with the next deployment. Unfortunately, another change to the code base, maybe by you, maybe by one of your team members, resulted in an undetected error related to saving new orders, meaning they're not being saved to the database. Now, the result is that customers are checking out, and then they're being redirected to a friendly error screen because, of course, you don't want to show them the actual error, but they're also getting an email now confirming that their order was placed. Therefore, they're mostly assuming everything is fine on account of that pleasant email confirmation. But in actuality, your system has no record of the order they just placed because it didn't save. In this kind of situation, you'd really rather not send that confirmation email until you've successfully saved the new order. So, while in-process domain events are often implemented using simple static method calls to raise or register for events, post-persistence events need to be stored somewhere and only dispatched once persistence has been successful. One approach you can use for this in .NET applications is to simply store the events in a collection on the entity or aggregate root, and then override the behavior of the entity framework DB context so that it dispatches these events once it has successfully saved the entity or aggregate. My clean architecture sample on GitHub, which you can use as a solution template for creating ASP.NET Core applications, demonstrates how to put this approach into action using a technique Jimmy Bogard wrote about a few years ago. It involves doing just this, overriding the save changes method on dbContext, finding all of the tracked entities that dbContext is tracking that have events inside of their collection, and then dispatching these events. His original approach from his article fires the events before actually saving the entity, but I much prefer persisting first and using a different kind of domain event for immediate, no side effect events that you want to have happen before persistence, like I talked about in the last tip. In the clean architecture sample, you'll find that I have a simple to-do entity that raises an event whenever it is marked complete. This event is only fired once the entity's state is saved. At that point, a handler tasked with notifying anybody subscribed to that entity's status could safely send out notifications because the state has been saved. The pattern is very effective and is a lightweight way to decouple follow-on behavior from actions that trigger them within the domain model, and it doesn't require adding additional architecture in the form of message queues or buses to achieve it, although those can certainly be useful in their own place as well. That's it for this week. Remember, if your team or application would benefit from an application assessment or from some coaching on how to better implement domain-driven design, clean architecture, or ASP.NET Core, contact me at rdallas.com and let's see how I can help. See you next week.